Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 9, entitled Mother Yashoda Binds Lord Krishna. Text number 9. Tam atayastim pasamiksha satvaras tato avaruhya apasasara bhitavat gopi anvadhavannayam apayoginam shamam pravishtum tapaseritam mana. And purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. When Lord Krishna saw his mother stick in hand, he very quickly got down from the top of the mortar and began to flee as if very much afraid. Although the yogis tried to capture him as Paramatma by meditation, desiring to enter into the effulgence of the Lord with great austerities and penances, they fail to reach Him. But Mother Yashoda, thinking that same personality of Godhead Krishna to be her son, began following Krishna to catch Him. Purport. Yogis, mystics want to catch Krishna as Paramatma, and with great austerities and penances they try to approach Him, yet they cannot. Here we see, however, that Krishna is going to be caught by Yashoda and is running away in fear. This illustrates the difference between Bhakta and the Yogi. Yogis cannot reach Krishna, but for pure devotees like Mother Yashoda, Krishna is already caught. Krishna was even afraid of Mother Yashoda's stick. This was mentioned by Queen Kunti in her prayers, Bhaya Bhavanaya Sitasya, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.8.31. Krishna is afraid of Mother Yashoda, and yogis are afraid of Krishna. Yogis try to reach Krishna by Jnana Yoga and other yogas, but fail. Yet, although Mother Yashoda was a woman, Krishna was afraid of her, as clearly described in this verse. Saw his mother stick in hand, he very quickly got down from the top of the mortar, began to flee as if very much agitated, as if very much afraid. Although yogis try to capture him as Paramatma by meditation, desiring to enter into the effulgence of the Lord with great austerities and penances, they fail to reach Him. But Mother Yashoda, thinking that the same personality of Godhead Krishna to be her son, began following Krishna to catch Him. Mukham Karo, taking the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas so that I can speak something on the subject of Srimad Bhagavatam. The subject matter is greatly the most auspicious, most purified subject. So please tolerate this faulty presentation, but the subject matter is divine and so beautiful that it is nourishing to those who hear and one who attempts to speak. So it's for our purification. I will speak something from this verse we are reading today. We are reading this most beautiful episode of Mother Yashoda binding Lord Krishna, one of the very sweetest pastimes of all Krishna Leela. I remember one time Radhika Vallabhu was giving this example that this, the sweetness of Krishna is is more discussed and is more important than even the birth of Krishna. He was mentioning that we celebrate Janmashtami for a day, but when you celebrate this whole pastime for 1 month, we sing Damodar Leela every day, Damodar Ashtakam we sing. So that is the beauty or glory of this wonderful Leela and reciprocation of love. And this pastime basically brings forth the highest epitome of devotional service over any other path, as Srila Prabhupada in this purport is explaining, that the yogis and the mystics, and Shukadeva Goswami is also mentioning in this verse, that they try to capture Krishna as Paramatma within their heart, but it's not possible for them to actually understand the divine and personal pastimes of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. So that is the beauty and of this wonderful Leela, and it is our great fortune that we have been given entrance into these wonderful pastimes of Krishna. Krishna in Vrindavan, as we know, is the best. The God in his best form is Krishna, is at its home in his own personal abode. In other incarnations, it's like official, like Vishnu is like his official designation. But Krishna in Vrindavan is at his best. He is God at home. He has the most loving relationships, most loving dealings. So therefore, those Brajabasis and those special people who are given entrance into the house of Krishna and are able to participate in these wonderful leelas or able to hear, they are very, very fortunate. In that sense, it is our great blessings and fortune that we have been given this entrance into Krishna's house and his personal dealings with his eternal associates. There is Prabhupada's great causeless mercy that we have been given. One time I think Dhanurdhar Maharaj was explaining that Govardhan or Vrindavan is like Krishna's home, and Radhakund and Shamkum are like Krishna's personal bedroom. And nobody is given entrance. If some outsider come, we have a dining room or a outside drawing room where we give a guest entrance. And someone who is very close, we allow him to come inside our own bedroom or our own house or our own private room which we have. So similarly, it's our great fortune or a blessing that we have been given entrance into these wonderful leelas, which the yogis are trying to capture Krishna by their meditation, and but they are unable to even reach the effulgence of the toenails coming from Krishna. So that is the beauty of, and here in this particular verse, Krishna is being afraid of Yashoda Mai. Krishna, whom the fear personified, is afraid of Krishna. Here, that Krishna is running away from the fear of Yashoda Mai. Remember, Shikshashtakam Guru once gave a class on this. Actually, many devotees have spoken many, many times on this pastime, but still it is very beautiful and relishable. How Krishna relinquishes his own various opulences, like Krishna is crying and Krishna is exhibiting various his own opulences which he otherwise exhibits are being relinquished in this wonderful, beautiful pastime. Krishna herein is afraid, and he himself is running in fear, actual fear, from Yashoda Mai's love. That is what Vrindavan is all about. It's having relationship and with loving relationship with Krishna, and that is what Krishna relishes more than anything else. So I was just thinking we will discuss something about Krishna's entrance or a devotee's entrance in Vrindavan, and devotees when he reaches, each one of us have an individual loving relationship with Krishna, and how we can experience that loving relationship. These pastimes which Krishna does are like a trailer in the spiritual, these pastimes which are happening are actually happening in the spiritual world eternally. So when Krishna comes in this Bhoma Vrindavan, perform these leelas to attract us, actually by showing us these trailers, that this is the trailer and you can join me up there. So these leelas are therefore meant to attract us, to reach us to Golok Vrindavan, which is the eternal home for each one of us, where Krishna is actually eagerly waiting for each one of us. Of course, I heard this pastime from Gaur Krishnapur. He told me a couple of times, or 2-3 times, as Radhesh Lalpur was also mentioning about Gopukumar's entry into the Goloka Vrindavan from Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Of course, I haven't read Brihad Bhagavatamrita, but whatever I read and whatever I have heard, I would like to just read this beautiful description from Brihad Bhagavatamrita, where Gopukumar, it's also like the journey home for Gopukumar. He's been traveling through different places in the material world, and then to the heavenly planets, and to Vaikuntha and Ayodhya, and then finally he receives his ultimate destination by the mercy of his spiritual master of Golok Vrindavan, that is our eternal home. So that's where his journey ends. And in the beautiful description, Sanatana Goswami describes about the glories of Sri Golok Dham, and how Gopakumar is very wonderfully received by Krishna and in a very, very personal way. That is the beauty of this wonderful Leela. And as soon as Gopakumar, he enters the Golok Vrindavan, he comes to the outskirts of Mathura, and he sees that it's all the same as the Bhoma Vrindavan. All the events are happening, the sun is rising, and all the Brajavasis are there, all the Mathura Vasis are there. He sees that the Mathura Vasis are very afraid that Kamsa is there and is going to kidnap Vasudev and Devaki. So all those Leelas are there, and all the Yadus, they are afraid and they are running in fear of Kamsa. And so he decides to go in further and who enters the most abode of Vrindavan, the holy abode of Goloka, the inner chambers of Vrindavan. And a beautiful description, he describes that thus never before he has visited Vaikuntha, he has visited the different planets, he has seen the whole material world, the spiritual worlds. But he said, never I have seen such a place as Goloka Vrindavan. I have no comparison to this place. And when he saw the residence of Goloka Vrindavan there, initially he saw that all the people are like in lamentation, they are crying, and there is everyone is absorbed in their own world. He is trying to catch attention of someone, but nobody is listening to them. He is like approaching them and asking them that where is the house of the king of this place, who is the king of this place, and how can I go? But nobody is responding, and finally he goes to an old person who is crying out, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And then he asks him that, where am I and who is the king of this place? And then finally he describes that you are in this is the abode of the king of Nanda Maharaj, and you are here. And he directs him to the house of Nanda Maharaj there. And then so in this way he moves towards, and another, finally he comes again, another old lady. He asks her that what is happening, and then they describe that actually Krishna has gone to tend his cows in the forest of Vrindavan, and we are all waiting here and with their eyes focused on the pathway towards the Yamuna, where Krishna is going to come back today. And this is the time when Krishna is going to come back and give us solace by his beautiful darshan and his glands. So he also stood there waiting for Krishna to come back. So along with them, he was also waiting for Krishna to come back from the forest of Vrindavan, which Krishna would go with his cows, tending the cows the whole morning. So as all the Brajabasis are waiting, that was the mood of Vrindavan. When Krishna would go to the forest of Vrindavan, all the Brajabasis, the Yashoda Mai, Nanda Maharaj, they would experience intense separation for Krishna. They would be talking about Krishna, they would be singing about Krishna, they would be always discussing about Krishna and waiting. When would Krishna come, and making arrangements for Krishna, making prasad for him, making butter for him, that when Krishna would come, we would offer that to him. That was the mood of Vrindavan. The whole day, in one sense, they were absorbed in separation, to be with the hope to be united in the evening when they would see Krishna. And of course, on the other side, the forest animals of Vrindavan, they were in union with Krishna at that time, and they were hoping that Krishna would come early in the morning and give us his association, and they were waiting every day in the morning, and they would experience Krishna's separation in the evening, and they would cry and they would remember Krishna. So that is what the Brajbhumi is separation and then union. And of course, the Brajavasis, their love was so intense that in the separation they would experience Krishna more than in union. They would see something, they would remember Krishna. Krishna was to come here, Krishna does this here, Krishna does this. They would talk about Krishna, they would make something for Krishna, they would remember Krishna more. So in that sense, they were experiencing more Krishna in separation than in union. That was their, the highest form of ecstasy of remembering Krishna in separation. So then finally Krishna, the time for Krishna to come back is there, and all the Brajavasis with their eyes focused on the path where Krishna is going to come. And finally the time comes when Gopu Kumar, he is there with all her cowherd friends. He hears the, among the mooing of the cows, he hears the faintly, the flute sound of which is emanating from Krishna's flute. And everyone is charmed and enamored when they hear the first sign that Krishna is going to come was the mooing of the cows, that they would see the dust from the cow's hooves. And also they would hear Krishna's flute, the transcendental flute of Krishna, which enchants the whole of Braj and the entire creation. Even the demigods, when they are flying in their airplanes up, they become enamored, the demigods and the demigoddesses, they are having nice flying in the ups. And when they hear Krishna's flute, they become completely like stubbed and become completely like stunned to hear Krishna's transcendental flute. The river Jamuna, which is flowing with great speed, just stuns in ecstasy to hear Krishna's, the cows and the animals, they stop doing whatever they are doing when they hear Krishna's flute. The immobile things, they melt, and those things which are moving becomes stable. Even the birds which are there on the trees, when they hear Krishna's flute, they become completely stable, and they are hearing with rapt attention the deers, and all the Brajavasis were completely enamored by hearing Krishna's transcendental flute. You can imagine how beautiful. We have heard so many expert flute players in this world, but when we hear about Krishna's flute, we can imagine actually how beautiful and how transcendental and how melodious that could be, Krishna's transcendental flute. So that they were meditating on that sound, absorbed Gop Kumar and all the Brajabasis, and those who were there, they were completely raptured and by hearing those Krishna's transcendental flute. And then all the Brajabasi ladies, when they heard that Krishna is going to come, they come out of their homes with the aarti plates to offer Krishna, various aartis and different offerings, and they were ready to receive Krishna. So all of them came, even the young gopis, they would come out not fearing what the others will say or what the family would think and everything. They would be right there to receive Krishna every day in front of them. And when they would hear Krishna's flute, they would give up everything what they were doing. Somebody would be dressing themselves, they would just give up. That was the calling of Krishna. When Krishna's calling come, nobody can stop. That is, nobody can stop when Krishna's calling comes. So they were completely raptured, or somebody would not be properly dressed, they would be feeding their children, they would be serving their husbands, they would just leave whatever they're doing to serve Krishna. That is what Vrindavan is, that Krishna is the main focus, Krishna is the main center. So that's what, when we have Krishna in our center, we can have Vrindavan wherever we are. When whatever we are doing, if we respond to Krishna's calling for us, which comes in the form of Guru's calling or Guru's instructions or his words, when we are able to give up everything, whatever we have, whatever we are doing, whatever our limitations or whatever our attachments we are, and run towards Krishna's or Guru's calling, then we can actually experience the love and reciprocation of Krishna as these Braj ladies were experiencing. That is what is following the footsteps of the Brajavasis means to run to the calling of Krishna and Guru. And they were all rushing to see Krishna, and Gopu Kumar also joined them, and he also started rushing to see Krishna and receive Krishna. And then from a distance he saw Krishna's beautiful charming flute in his hand, and Krishna then, when he saw Gopu Kumar, he actually ran. He was there with Balramji, another cohort friends, and Krishna ran from the crowd, and then he embraced Gopakumar, who was there amongst all the Brajabasis. Everyone was surprised, who is this Gopal whom Krishna is embracing? And then Krishna says to Sudama, who was standing next, look Sudama, here is my dear friend Sarup, the sun who shines on the lotus of your family, because Sarup or Gopakumar, his name was Sarup in the spiritual abode, and he was from Sudama's family, the Radharani's family, and Krishna was so happy to meet him, he embraced him. And like Gopakumar had heard about Krishna's beauties and he'd seen the Brajabasis, but when he was saw Krishna, Sanatan Goswami described that Krishna was dressed, very wonderfully dressed, his garments, his earrings, his peacock feathers, crown, they were all swaying to and fro as Krishna ran, and along with his garland of kadamba flowers which Krishna was wearing. His fragrance perfumed all the directions, and his beautiful lotus face blossomed with a playful smile. So this beautiful form, wearing the kadamba garland, Krishna ran to embrace Gopakumar. So he's waiting for each one of us to embrace us, to have us with him. Only thing is, we have to show our sincerity, our desire to go and serve him. And then Krishna is there. His lotus eyes, Gopakumar himself describes, were beaming with a merciful glance, and the varied essence of beauty decorated him in a very singular way. And in this beautiful way, he attracting everyone's heart, he embraced Gopakumar. And when Gopakumar experienced Krishna's transcendental touch and embrace, actually he fainted at that point. And Krishna held him from his neck from behind, embracing him. And he held him and shedding tears of ecstasy. Krishna was shedding tears of ecstasy. Sanatana Goswami explained that there was the mud below, the soft braj raj was forming into dirt, and that beautiful, so much tears were coming from Krishna's eyes seeing. So Krishna is waiting for each one of us to come back to him. He also misses, he is missing each one of us in his own abode, in our whatever relationship we have. Krishna is waiting for each one of us in that relation. And a moment later, Sarup or Gopakumar, he got awoke and he saw Krishna holding him by his neck. And then actually Krishna, out of great affection and love, then faints in ecstasy. And then Krishna faints on the ground. And all the Brajabasis, the ladies, they were completely shocked. What is happening? And the cowherd men, they started running towards Krishna to see what has happened to Krishna. What has happened? Everyone is, alas, alas, what has happened to Krishna? Probably he is another demon sent by Kamsa who has fainted Krishna, who has killed Krishna. And then like all the animals and everyone come close to Krishna to see Krishna, what has happened. And Mother Yashoda is crying in tears and Nanda Maharaj is in tears and they all come. And of course, Balramji was little behind because Krishna has ran to see Gopakumar. He comes running and he's also little, he's crying to see Krishna first lying on the floor, and then he realizes that this is Krishna's friend. Otherwise, everyone was thinking he's some of the Krishna's, Kamsa's men who were there. And all there was tumultuous crying going on, and Sanatana Goswami describes even the immovable creatures, the trees and the plants, in great pain, they were suddenly drying up. That is what Krishna's absence would cause them. Krishna was the life and center of all, even the immovable things, the plants, the trees, the grasses, each one of them had immense love for Krishna. Not seeing Krishna, not being in presence of Krishna, the thought that Krishna is not there dried them completely. That was their love for Krishna. And Sarup also, or Gopakumar, he was also confused and he was in sorrow. What is happening? And finally, Balaramji comes, makes Sarup or Gopakumar wipe Krishna's face and his tears and make him. And finally, Gopakumar held Krishna's lotus feet, his soft lotus feet, and began to profusely cry and sob. And then finally, and Gopakumar lifts Krishna and Krishna comes into his consciousness again. And And then suddenly Krishna, he opened his eyes and then he saw Gopakumar there. And fiercely Gopakumar fainted, then Krishna fainted, and then when they saw each other again, Krishna actually again embraced him and kissed him there. And then Krishna looked around, he became a little embarrassed. So many people, all the Brajavasis, Gopis, everyone was there. So Krishna kissed him and then he felt a little embarrassed. And so in this way, Krishna was taken to his house by Nanda Maharaj. Of course, on the way, Krishna reciprocated with all the Brajavasi ladies, the gopis, and of course the forest animals. They would also come till the end of the forest. They wouldn't enter the village of Vrindavan. They didn't want to disturb the atmosphere of the village. But they will come till the last end of Vrindavan forest, and they would be crying in separation that we will be missing Krishna the whole day. And they would spend the whole night there, actually waiting for Krishna to come. That is Krishna's all-attractive nature. People of this world, as we hear many times, Krishna is all-attractive. Not only the same species, but all the species, all the living entities. That is Krishna's attractiveness. Is all the living entities in all the species of all the ages at all times are attracted to Krishna. That is Krishna's all-attractive nature. Eternally, that is much, much different, or in contrast to the beauty or attractiveness of this world, which is very, very temporary, illusory, short time, separated by time. But, so this way, Krishna, on the way back towards his home, he was reciprocating with all the Brajabasi ladies, accepting Aarti, and everyone was very beautifully receiving actually Krishna on the way. And then, of course, Krishna brought the cows to the cowshed, and then the milking. And of course, Nanda Maharaj was very anxious, so he tells, you just go home. Yashoda Mai is waiting, and Krishna and Balaram. And Krishna takes Swarup by his own personal hand to his own house there. And Nanda Maharaj says, Yashoda Mai is waiting, I'll take care of the cows and everything, I'll make them nice and take care of them, you just go ahead. And Yashoda Mai, her embodiment of love, Vatsalya, she is the epitome of Vatsalya love. And just by seeing Krishna, her breasts become wet with milk and she is perspiring and waiting for Krishna to come there, and Rohini Devi. So both of them perform aarti, and when Krishna comes and affectionately embraces him and kisses him all over the place, and then they decide that Krishna has come out from his job, so let us bathe Krishna and Balaram, Rohini Devi and Shudama. And of course all the other ladies, Brajavasis, the elderly gopis, the young gopis, they are also assembled to see Krishna being, Balaram being bathed. But Krishna wanted to reciprocate with their wonderful desire to serve him. So then Krishna tells Shudamai that we are very, very hungry. You go and cook some nice prasad for us, or we would like to be bathed. And so Sudamai says, okay, since you are hungry, we will go and cook. Sudamai and Rohini Devi, they decide that they'll go and cook, and all the Brajavasi ladies, they decide to bathe Krishna. So many Brajavasi ladies were there, so that service had to be divided equally. So then they divide the service. Someone removes the different jewels from Krishna, somebody removed the peacock feather, somebody removed the turban cloth, somebody removed the waist cloth. In this way, everyone got some service to Krishna. They were completely absorbed in serving Krishna. They removed all the clothes and they wonderfully, with their soft lotus hand, they would massage first Krishna's body with scented oil. And so this is actually, in one sense, when we do deity worship, the similar things when we worship Sri Gopalji, we just undress him, and then so the same thing we are doing by Krishna's, Prabhupada's mercy, we got the same facility, the same service of the Brajabasis. Only thing is we have to invest our consciousness in that. Sometimes it's difficult when we're serving the deities or devotees. Consciousness is somewhere else. The consciousness, how conscious we are while we are serving Krishna, that is what we have to develop. Otherwise, we have the whole facility of the spiritual world is there. This temple is non-different from the spiritual world. We are serving the devotees, getting the opportunity to serve the devotees, serve Krishna personally. So Brajabasis, they were doing the same thing. So they and so So they were like, they applied scented oil to Krishna, massaged him very nicely, and then Krishna in between, like they would be massaging very, very softly, and then Krishna would in between, he would like shout, ee, like that, that as if some pain has come, and then Yashoda Mai would come out and see, and what is happening, why are you doing this? And then Krishna would say, and then Krishna would smile, and then Yashoda Mai would go in again, and this way Krishna would have nice fun, he would be talking with the gopis, he would be making fun of them, and in between the gopis, some of the gopis would also bring some bhoga and offer to, stealthily, like, very quietly they would offer to Krishna. They didn't want Yashoda Mai to see because she is cooking, so Krishna won't eat her, and they didn't want, Yashoda Mai would think that why he's eating in between the meals. So they would stealthily make some of the offerings and offer it to Krishna. Of course, Krishna lovingly would accept their wonderful loving offerings and accept their prasad. So in this way, Yashoda Mai would also again and again, while she is cooking, she would again and again come out and see Krishna being bathed, and they are taking nice care of my child. And then in this way, after applying wonderful oils, in between offering different bhoghas, having fun with Krishna, they bathe Krishna with warm Jamuna water, the beautiful waters from Sri Jamuna Devi. That was beautiful, fresh, scented water. Unfortunately, Yamuna in this world is now being contaminated. But that time, Krishna's time, beautiful lotus flowers, fragrant waters of Sri Yamuna Devi, the warm, they made it a little warm to bathe Krishna's transcendental body. And so in this way, then they decorated Krishna with various ornaments and the dresses and jewels, and they would make different tilak markings and different decorations. And of course, Krishna in between would play some jokes, and something will like come out while they were doing, because Krishna would play some jokes. They would rub it again, and they would do it again. They would like to spend more and more time with Krishna. So Krishna was also reciprocating with their wonderful desire. And finally, Yashoda Mai comes, and then the prasadam is ready, and then beautiful decoration of Krishna is done. So then, by the time, of course, Balramji was bathed first, because Yashoda Mai tell that you bathe Balramji first and send him to Nanda Maharaj's place to call him back. So Nanda Maharaj by the time is back, and so Krishna is also dressed, and then Nanda Maharaj, and they all sit on the beautiful dining table to have their lunch on the golden chairs. Nanda Maharaj is sitting in the center. On his right sit Sri Balaramji, and maybe not the table, on the floor with nice golden chairs. But nice arrangement for prasadam was made. And then Krishna is on the left of Nanda Maharaj so that he could feed Krishna personally. So in this way, and Gopakumar or Sarup Krishna personally actually forces him to sit right in front of him. And Yashoda Mai and Rohini Devi from the kitchen brings most wonderful and delicious prasadam, and in the golden plate and with silver bowls studded with various jewels. So in this way, like, she brings various wonderful prasadam. I'll just read something about prasadam, because tomorrow is Nirjala Ekadashi, so it's beautiful to read. At least today we can read that description. So Nanda Maharaj is there, and so Yashoda Mai personally brings all these the beginning of the start of the meal. Krishna ate warm sweet rice with ghee and sugar, which was very, very tasty, together with cakes, pies, different types of pies and jalebis and rotis. So that in this way, then later on Krishna ate different fried items in ghee, sweetened yogurt, and various preparations from yogurt and milk. And in the middle of the meal he ate fine white rice, warm fragrant tender fried dal with balls, that dal vadi and other things, and leafy vegetable soups and other vegetable preparations. So Krishna starts with a warm sweet rice, and then with other items made of milk products, and mainly sweet and sour in different tastes, and some pungent spicing. He ate other items. And the end, again, Krishna ate sweetened yogurt and various items made from yogurt and buttermilk. And then, so in this way, Krishna enjoyed his wonderful meal, and in between actually Nanda Maharaj was there. He would feed Krishna, and Yashoda Mai would come and offer food to Krishna, and Balramji would offer food to Krishna's mouth. So they were all like lovingly serving food to Krishna, was enjoying this loving, and Krishna would in between offer to Sarup, who was sitting right in front of him. So Nanda Maharaj is there, Yashoda Mai would come, bring the prasad, offer it to Krishna's mouth, and then he would offer, Balramji would offer, Yashoda Mai would offer, and then Krishna would offer to Sarup. So in this way, wonderful prasadam was being served, and then of course the many Brajabasis from their homes, they brought many sweets in different plates, and Yashoda Mai put forth those sweets in Krishna's and Balramji's plate, and they started to relish that. And then finally Radharani brings her favorite, cooked by her personally, the Manohar Laddus, the small and the big size and the flat Laddus. She would personally actually bring those Laddus, and she just placed in front on the left of Krishna so that Krishna could easily honor those Laddus. And so Krishna just picks one of the Laddus with his right hand, he just picks and tastes it, and he just makes a bitter face as if there is some bitter in this Laddus. And all Radharani and all the Sakis, they become a little afraid. And Yashoda Mai is also in a chastising mood. What have you done? Put something bitter in the Laddu. And all the other lady, the other gopis who are on the other side of Radharani, they are happy. Finally Radharani did some mistake. And so in this way, like, beautiful rasa is going on. And Krishna just takes that half Laddu, he puts it on the plate and pushes the plates towards Gopakumar. And then Gopakumar is also a little confused what to do, why Krishna did this plate. And actually, then finally, Gopakumar actually picks that laddu and tastes. It was the best ever laddu or prasad which Gopakumar had. Krishna personally cooked by Srimati Radharani, had by Krishna personally and given to Gopakumar. There cannot be any comparison in the entire creation or in the spiritual world or anywhere about that prasad or the mercy which Gopakumar received. I remember this was the pastime. Actually, Gaur Krishna Prabhu, one of his favorite pastimes was this. He would tell at least three times I have heard from him, one of his favorite pastimes of Manohar Laddu being cooked by Radharani and given to Gopakumar. So then, so then Gopakumar with great relish, and then Krishna reciprocated with Radharani and make her comfortable that they were actually very sweet Laddus and nice Laddus, and not that they were bitter. He wanted to offer that love actually to Gopakumar. So in this way, Krishna, then Yashoda Mai offered her pan and other digestives to chew, and Krishna honored his prasad with Gopakumar in this way wonderfully. And then Yashoda Mai, very very anxious that he'd eaten so much, Krishna, she would chant some mantras that Krishna could digest, and with her left hand Yashoda Mai would rub on our Krishna's belly, that all that you have eaten should be digested. That was Yashoda Mai's love, and she would again and again make sure that whatever Krishna had gets digested also. So in this way, Nanda Maharaj then went out to the cow pastures, and Krishna and Balram went to take rest in the night. And of course, in the night, Krishna and Balramji would be sleeping, and Krishna would be performing his pastimes with the gopis. You know, they would have their wonderful leelas in the night, and Gopakumar was given the vision and to see all these wonderful leelas, to see of Madhurya Ras. And finally in the morning, Yashoda Mai would go up and wake up Krishna, thinking that Krishna had a nice deep sleep, even though Krishna was performing wonderful leelas. And then finally he bathes Krishna very nicely and make him ready for the next day morning, for again Krishna to go to herd the cows. And it was very, very painful for all the Brajabasis. And of course, when Krishna would be ready, he would come out, play his flute, and all the cowherd boys, they would actually be waiting also all throughout the night. When would Krishna call us and we will go to spend time with Krishna in the forests of Vrindavan? So then Krishna's, as soon as they hear Krishna's flute, they come out with their herds of cows and a huge group. Bhagavatam describes asankhya number of cowherd men were there who were herding who would go with Krishna, and Yashoda Mai prepared a huge lunch pack for Krishna that you should eat when you are going to the forest. And Yashoda Mai and Nanda Maharaj and all the cowherd ladies, they also actually follow Krishna till the end of the forest. It was difficult for them to see Krishna, especially for Yashoda Mai. It was not possible for him to see Krishna going into the forest. So while Krishna would be going, of course, before Krishna would go, she would invite the Brahmana ladies and perform Vedic mantras, apply various herbs for Krishna's protection. And so in this way, so then she would go till the end, and it was very, very difficult when Krishna would be going. She will call Krishna, "No, no, no, Krishna, come, come. There are some tears, some perspiration on your face. I would like to wipe." And then Yashoda Mai goes with her hand, she wipes, and with her sari, she wipes Krishna's perspiration. And then Krishna is going ahead again. And then Yashoda Mai turns back, and then again she comes back. And then she again like brings some fruits or some prasad, and she is offering to Krishna again and again. And so in this way, like Krishna would be going ahead, and then Yashoda Mai would call again, "No, no, no, Krishna, you should not go deep into the forest, and Balramji, you should be in the front, and the different Gopas, you should be on the left, you should be on the right." So in this way, she would be guiding all the Gopas, "You should protect Krishna." And then Krishna would be going again, and then she'll call again, "Krishna, no, no, your peacock feather is tilted, so let me dress it properly, and your this has come down, your dhoti is loose." So in this way, again and again, again and again, Yashoda Mai would go back, call Krishna, go back, call Krishna again. And then finally Krishna touched her feet, embraced her tightly, that, "Mother, I have to go now." And then finally Krishna goes, and Yashoda Mai is standing still there, waiting till the far end where Krishna is to be seen. And then, of course, the cowherd ladies, they were also there, waiting till the end. And Krishna would reciprocate with each one of them by glancing them and assuring them that he'll be back. He will send messages that now you go back. And then finally they would all go back. And then Nanda Maharaj also, it was too heartbreaking for him to see Krishna go to the forest alone, having no shoes and the thorns. And then he would also like keep walking. And then finally Krishna embraced him tightly and rest assured him that, "I'll be back in the evening." And so then finally Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Mai, all the cowherd ladies, they would also be seeing till the last. The dust from the hooves of the cows will be there. That will be visible. They will be still there waiting. And till then they will be go. And when Krishna would go, then they would finally come back to Brajabhumi and perform various leelas. They would sing about Krishna, talk about Krishna. So every moment in their life was Krishna's. There was nothing other than Krishna in their lives. They were eating for Krishna, sleeping for Krishna, talking, walking, whatever they were doing, it was all Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. That was their own life of Brajavasis. There's nothing else in their lives. Every breath was Krishna. There was nothing other than Krishna for these Brajavasis. And all the forest animals, they were ready to receive Krishna. They were right at the entrance of the forest. All the forest animals, they were raptured and waiting the whole night. Then Krishna would come and they would take Krishna in. And all the trees and the plants, they were also, in this way, this wonderful Krishna's entrance into the forest of Vrindavan. And finally, so in this way, this wonderful pastime of this Krishna Leelas are so beautiful, and they were empowered, and they are great fortunate people who are there to participate in these wonderful leelas and pastimes. And by Srila Prabhupada's grace, by Srila Prabhupada's grace, we also have the, in the form of Krishna book and wonderful Srimad Bhagavatam, we have these wonderful leelas of Krishna's which we can read about, hear about, meditate and pray that one day we can also follow in the footsteps of the Brajabasis. We cannot imitate their Krishnaized state. For us, even in front of Krishna, we are away from Krishna. When we are even worshipping deities, or when we are with Krishna, supposed to be Krishna in the form of chanting of the holy names, as Krishna is most easily available in this age of Kali in the form of his holy name. Even though we are with Krishna, but we are not with Krishna. But for the Brajavasis, the gopis, they were never without Krishna. There was no separation in the sense, they were always with Krishna. So in that sense, following the footsteps of the gopis would mean for us to following the calling of Krishna and Guru and following their instructions. So in this way, on this most auspicious occasion of Sri appearance day of Sri Baldev Vidya Bhushan Pad, Sri Ganga Mata Goswami, who were the great exalted acharyas in our the divine Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. It is our, by their prayers and by their mercy and by following their instructions, we can also actually follow in the footsteps of the Brajavasis. So with this, I would like to end, and grateful to all of you for patient hearing and allowing me to speak. Hare Krishna. Jai Shri Krishna Bhagavan ki, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna.